All right. Yeah, we are on Chaf Gimel on the Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. So we talked before about two women giving testimony about each other, right, which is all about Kesha Shvuya, right? They were kidnapped, etc. Their status to marry their husbands, it's married to their husbands. But now we're going to talk about two men. So clearly, talking about two men, it's going to be a different conversation. Right? So it says the Mishnah, V'chein, Shnei Anashim, right? See the connection between the Mishnah I asked before and after. Right? And similarly, two men, right? Ze Omer Kohen Ani, V'ze Omer Kohen Ani. Right? This one says, I'm a Kohen, and this one says, I'm a Kohen. Okay? So each one declares on their own that they are a Kohen.
Correct.
So you, funny you say it. We just started. Funny you say it. Rashi says v'chein shnei anashim lo gar sinan shenishbu. It doesn't say that they were kidnapped. They're not even kidnapped. Right? We talked about the women being kidnapped.
Right.
But the men are not being kidnapped. We're talking about their status of a kohen. That's all.
Come in and say I'm a kohen.
Says I'm a kohen. You know anybody a kohen? I can tell you a different time. I'll tell you a great story about a guy when I lived in Charleston who said he was a kohen and then it turned out he wasn't a kohen and. It's a good story. I'll tell you later. But guy says, I'm a Kohen. The other guy says, we're on the Chaf Gimel Beis at the Mishnah. Other guy says, I'm a Kohen. Ain't an Emunin. They're not believed. So like, we're not talking about like, you know, to get on the Liga. It's not like coming to Shul, you don't believe you. The guy says, I'm a Kohen, you don't believe him. So Rashi says, Ain't an Emunin. First wide line. The Tain Lehen Truma. Right, this is the guy who wants to say that he should get truma. We have to see what scenarios we're talking about. Is only if people have raised questions about the person, like meaning what a person can't say I'm a Kohen. He's a Kohen, been a Kohen his whole life. He can't declare himself a Kohen. If Kohanim here, then they're upset about this. So right, so what does that mean? But fine. But at this point, we are saying a person to eat truma because a zar eats truma. It's a very very serious deraisa. So a person says I'm a Kohen. Another person says I'm a Kohen. They're not believed. But when each one gives testimony about the other, right? That's believed. Meaning, if I say, right? Look at Rashi. Second line. Right? Me and him, we're both Kohanim. Right? Then they're believed. Okay, we're gonna have to see why. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein malim lekahuna al pi eid echad." Rabbi Yehuda says, "You cannot." Elevate someone to the status of a Kohen by way of 1 8. Okay, look at Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Malin LeKohen Yehuda Al Pi Echad. V'afilu Heicha DeLeika Gomlin. Even in the scenario where there aren't Gomlin, what are Gomlin? Right. So Rashi is explain what it is in a second. V'chol Shekein Hacha DeIkal LeMeicha Shegomlin. Even in this case where you are nervous about Gomlin, what's Gomlin? Ha'ed Ata'alai V'ani Alecha Gomlin. Right. A Gomel Chesed. Right. What's a Gomel? Gomilos Chasadim. As I do for you, right? You do a kindness for somebody else. So this is a gomlin is not necessarily a chesed in this case. It means we have an agreement, we have an understanding, right? We're going to go to Beis Din. I'm going to say you're a kohen. You're going to say I'm a kohen, right? We know that we can't testify by ourselves, but we can. Has to be Beis Din. We have an understanding with each other. So there's a ikel amechash legomlin. When each person says that the other person's is indeed a kohen, so there's this concern that maybe they've, you know.
They made it up, right?
They're working together. So Yehuda says that we don't believe, we don't elevate a Kohen to the status of Eid Echad in any case, and certainly in this case, where each one is testifying about the other person. Yeah.
Why didn't he have the same objection with the women?
Ah, it's a good question. Okay, so we have to see. And we did a little bit at some points with the women. We did have some of these objections when they were. And then when there was reason to be concerned about what they're talking about, right? We talked about maybe they're only saying it because if I say that she's Tahora, it'll imply that I'm Tahora, but you're right. But one of the reasons is because for Shvuya, we're specifically Mekel for a Shvuya Eid Echad,
okay.
Right? Because we had a particular kula when it comes to the Shvuya, which isn't going to apply to a Kohen who wants to eat Truma.
This may be all the way out in left field, but why aren't okay. We worried about that if they are Kohanim, that they're two relatives testifying for each other?
For each other.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just the fact that I'm a Kohen and you're a Kohen
right,
doesn't
they,
make us Krovin.
No, but nobody said, well, they're, I mean, they are, but they may not be.
Well, we all are, I mean.
Because that logic, we're all Krovin.
Right.
So I mean, okay. So Krovin means, right,
means
brother, sister, like, you know, like, okay. You know, but much, 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 much closer. So first cousins, you know what I mean? Like, we're not talking like, you know. Yeah, we both come from the same great-great-great-grandfather.
No, they could be much closer if they're coming together to testify.
It's more likely, but the assumption is that these guys are not Krovin. But that's not where in left field. It's a good kasha.
Is the issue with Truma just Kohen eating it, or is it if I give it to the person? I'm not.
More the question of a non Kohen who eats truma. Okay. A non Kohen eats truma.
Somebody claims to be a Kohen and I give them my truma. Am I something
that, it's a good question. L'chaver, that would be important for that also, but I think we're more concerned about them eating truma. But Rashi says, litain lehem truma. So you're right. Rashi's language of litain lehem truma might be, does that mean it's trusting them so they're not eating, that Kohanim eating truma, or that I'm not being yotzei, right. I'm mitzvah of a fresh truma semester. It's interesting.
You can give a non Kohen truma, like an ebed.
Right. But I wonder, does the language of Rashi litain lehen truma, does it mean, is that about me or is it about the coin? I assumed it was about the status of the coin, but you're right.
It could be both.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. That's good. These are all good questions. I told you because it's later in the morning. We're going to have more questions. Okay. Good. But the bottom line is Rabbi Yehuda seems to be disagreeing with Tanakama. Tanakama says each one can't say about himself, but if they say about each other, that works. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Eimal lakuna pi erechad. What do you mean? I can never use. Sounds like I can never use erechad. Right? That's what he's arguing on the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar, a masai, when is that? But Malkum Shiyesh Orin. Right? No, when is it that I don't trust one aid to make someone a Kohen? That's when there are people who are angry, upset. They're raising questions about his status. Of a Malkum Shein Orin, Mal lakuna pi erechad. Rabbi Elazar says, depends what the scenario is. Is a stama guy, everyone knows, Joe Cohen, he's the everyone knows him, he's the Cohen in town, and no one's bothered by him. So Eidechad is enough. But if people say, I heard it's really, it's not really a Cohen, his name is really Kornivsky, and it's he made it up, etc. So that's what starts to happen, and people are questioning his status, so that's when Eidechad is not allowed. But otherwise, in the stama case, so then... an Eichad would be enough.
That's different than the Tanakhama. In other words, what is that adding?
Oh, so let's see. So
because in a regular case, if somebody's not challenging him, according to the Tanakhama, you would still need.
According to Tanakhama, Eichad is fine. If Yehuda says that's not true, we never use an Eichad. Right. And Rebbe says we do allow an Eichad if it's Stam, but not if they're Orin. Is the Tanakhama saying Eichad is okay? Even if they're Orin. Right. You can allow Eidecha. Maybe that's the three opinions. Yeah. Yes, correct.
Okay, I don't know.
And then, but don't worry, we have a fourth opinion. Rishim Galil Omer, Rishim and Rishim Ben Haskan, Malin Likuhut. Haskan just means the assistant. It doesn't mean the assistant. Kohen Gadol, who was exactly who the assistant was. That's what that means. Malin Likuhuna Al Pi Eidecha. So he says, no, you can raise someone to the status of Kohen Al Pi Eidecha. And Kash is, of course, what is he adding? Right? What is he adding from in this whole conversation? And that Rashi himself writes, the Gemara is going to explain later on the Daf Chavav what exactly he is adding to the conversation.
You can.
Eidechad's enough. Exactly. Exactly. So we have to see. We have to play this out. We have another couple of Daf here to figure out what is going on in this whole Machlokas. And let's get started. Okay. So the Gemara's first problem is, that we are now, again, this person says, I'm a Kohen. I'm a Kohen and he's a Kohen. Yeah, he says I'm a Kohen, he's a Kohen. So lechora, right? There's some level of pesha asu or pesha hitter. Right? He's no one said he's not a Kohen, and he's declaring himself a Kohen. So there's some level of pesha asu or pesha hitter. And the Gemara wants to know. Now look at the Gemara. Kohani lamali. Okay, all these examples. What do I need them for? Look at Rashi. Kohani detani detana masnisin lashwina la pesha asar hu a pesha hitter. Lamali. We did a lot of examples, right? If you go back a number of daf, right? We talked about a bunch of examples of a pesha asu who a pesha hit there. The first example was, if you remember, the guy who says that was your father's land and I bought it, right? That was the first example of the episode. There's a number of daf ago, right? That was your father's land and I bought it, right? And then we saw other examples also. The Gemara's going to go through each one. But basically, then we saw multiple examples also, the cases of women, etc., where they declare themselves, yes, I was nishbeis, but tahora ani, so what are all these cases needed for? Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. Kol hani lamali. What do I need all these cases for? So Gemara says, no, tshrichi. I'll tell you exactly why I need all the cases, okay? Di tana mod Rabbi Yeshua. Because if you had to tell me this is a good way to do chazara, I'm going to read it before. If you had to tell me the case of Rabbi Yeshua, who's Rabbi Yeshua? So Rabbi Yeshua was our case from a number of dot before, when we said, Rabbi Yeshua says, that's your father's land, and I bought it. Right? That's the case of Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua says that your motive went in a case where I say, this land belonged to your father, and I bought it. So that's a Pesha Asu, Pesha, he didn't have to mention that. Right, the land belonged to your father, and he did. So since he did, then he's believed when he says, "But I bought the land." Right. So why in that case? What's the chiddush of that case? That's mishum deika drorid ramona, because there's financials on the line. Right. In that case, I have something to be concerned about. Look at Rashi. Mishum deika drorid ramona hilkach ilav de pshita milsa shalacha me'aviv. If it wouldn't have been obvious that he took it from your father, lo haya omer shalavicha, he never would have said it. Right, the going la atzma hefsin mammon and kind of calls himself that he's going to lose money. Uksha omer tachila sevarav al shem sofo amro. So, meaning he wouldn't have raised the question, right? Why? Wait, really? It's not your land. It's my father's land. Like, why bring that up? Right? He would only bring it up if he intended to close the sentence in the end with "but I bought it." Right? Because what's the concern? The concern is what's always a pesha asu pesha itir is I raise something that's bad for myself, and then I close it with something that's good for me. Right? So. The question always becomes, wait a second, did you like raise that bad thing for yourself and then realize that it was bad and then all of a sudden you quickly change your testimony? Like, I bought the land. The land was your father's. Oh, really? Interesting. Oh, no. I actually bought it from him. Right? Sorry, the land was your father's. I actually bought it from him. Right? So the question is, do we have to be concerned that maybe when you said your second thing, that was like a reaction. You were trying to cover yourself up and it wasn't part of your original testimony. And the answer is, in this case, what happens? The case of the it's your father's land case, we assume that since he would have lost money by mentioning that it belonged to your father, he never would have mentioned it unless he meant it all as one statement. Right? Right? So therefore, uksha omer techilas devarev al shem sofo amro, ligamor behen, ulukachtiya hemenu. Right? It's so obvious that I bought it from your father, right? So like, I'll say, yeah, your father's land, but I bought it. So that's not that's the case you say, oh, a pesha asa or a pesha hit there. Because the fact that he mentioned it, he just mentioned it because he knows he's going to conclude the sentence and say, but I really bought it.
So he's aware of the downside of saying it.
He knows what he's saying. Right. And the fact that he's saying it is not like, we don't have a concern. Point is like this. Do we have a concern that the whole thing is really a lie? And when you say a pesha asa or a pesha hit there, he raises something that is problematic for him halachically, and then he saves it with the second half of the sentence. So do we say in those scenarios, you know, that we are concerned that really when he flips it at the end that he's really lying, right?
By the field, we're not concerned.
So so maybe when it comes to the field, that case, I get it, I understand that. Why? Because he's going to lose money by mentioning that it's your father's field,
right?
So that's obvious that he meant it all as one conversation. And that continues the Gemara. Aval Edim, right? What's Edim? Edim. Go to Rashi. Aval Edim. If you remember, Sha'amru Ksav Yadenuhu. Right? They're saying that's our handwriting, right? That's my handwriting. It is, and that's, and, you know, that's my name. And yes, I'm the one who signed it, right? So, but by Edim, the lake of Dror to Ramona, Amalo, right? But the Edim, there's no financial loss, meaning because it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with somebody else. Look at Rashi. The lake of Dror to Ramona, Liga Baihu, they're not going to lose any money. The Limtinhu, Seda Bahai Edus, right? They don't lose out by giving this testimony. Amalo, maybe say, Lolis Hemnu Lememar Anusin Hayim. Sorry, what was the case? They say, yes, that's my handwriting, and we were coerced to sign it, right? So maybe in this case, when they say, yeah, that's our handwriting, right? They don't have anything to lose by mentioning the first side, that first side, right? So then when they close it by saying, yeah, but we were forced, right? Look at Rashi. Ema lolis lis hemnu lamemar anusin hayinu de me kara ki armu ksav yadenuhu adaita das desadusa amru. Meaning they meant it just like, yeah, that's my handwriting. What do you want to say about it? Right? Right? Maybe you say, but at the end, they say, wait a second, oh, this is going to mess this guy over. Yeah, but I was forced. Right? And they changed their mind at the end. Right? So that's what you might have said. Meaning, I might have said, meaning, what was Gemara's Kasha? What do I need both examples of Pesha Asu or Pesha Hitter? The case of the guy saying, it's your father's land, but I bought it. And the guy who says, this is my handwriting, but I was forced. And the answer is, because the first case is a case where the guy himself knows he's going to lose, he has a potential to lose money by saying that first statement, it's your father's field. So when he changes us at the end and says, yeah, but I bought it, we know he had that on mind the whole time. But the second case where it's not I'm not losing money, so maybe he just said, was just giving a, you know, regular test. Yeah, that's my handwriting. And then when he changes his, you know, his story at the end, that's not, that wasn't part of the original testimony. Maybe.
You should bring that up now.
Yeah, come on. And if so, maybe we have a less of a reason to believe it as like one piece of testimony. So Kamash Milan, then no, we don't feel that way. And so we quote you both to tell you that both are good. Both count as Pesha Asahu Pesha Yetir.
Both of those cases.
Now, those are the first two we're going to deal with, right? Those two, right? Amalo, so we say that they're both good. They both work. Fine.
It seems that one's my personal loss and the other has nothing to do with that. Those are two differences already. Why do we need to create this? It's like...
I think that's part of the point. Yeah. Right. What you see also from the way Rashi talks about it, it sounds like part of the, and we didn't talk about this before, part of the structure of why a Pesha Asu or a Pesha Yetir works is that we almost see it, it's not just that we're not concerned that the guy's lying, but it's almost like we see it as like one statement, right? And when it's seen as like two statements that like maybe, you know, the first statement was made without the second statement in mind, that's when we're more concerned, right? And it's almost like if it's not one full statement, that's when we have like these extra concerns here. It sounds like that. And the point is that it doesn't matter. And this, the Chiddush is that we need both. The Chiddush of telling me both is that in both cases, whether there's a financial loss involved or there's not a financial loss involved, either way, we assume the guy meant that the whole thing is one full statement. But now there's another case. Vitana Edim, and if you're talking the case of Edim, Mishub de la Alma. Maybe I believe you just, why? Because it doesn't have to do with me, right? Like Rashi de la Alma. Ein hadibra achron mehani la'atzma el la'acherim. Right? The reason why we trust him, right, is because he's an objective third party. It doesn't have to do with him. He's not getting any money here. Right? Umishum acherim lo hava hadrim messiah. But if for somebody else, he's not going to change his mind. Right? It was all part of one statement. Aval ihu gufe de la nafshe. I'm looking at the bottom line of Rashi. Aval ihu gufe de la nafshe mehani ki hadr va'amr lekachtia. Right? But maybe you'd say in the case where it's about himself, right? So then you talk, I might change his statement in the middle. Whoa, I'm going to mess myself over. And he didn't have it in mind from the beginning. So that, you know, that would be more concerned, right? So if eternal Edom, if I just say the case of Edom, meaning say fine, just use the case of Edom and don't use the case of the field, right? If I just say Edom, that's because it's that I trust you because it's for everybody, But you know, aval ihu de lanavshe emelo. But if it's just about himself, maybe we would have said no. So that's why I need both cases: the case of the guy with the field buying the field, telling him that the field was your father and I bought it, and the case of the guy who says it's my signatures but I was forced. We need both of them. Good. Okay. And if you tell me those two cases, those are monetary cases. Right? Maybe it's a lot of times, right? Where dine marmalos are more kal than the issue of the possibility of a ish zish, right? That's much more severe. So, I'm sorry. So, just put a sign on the door. So maybe the Pesha Asa Pesha Yetir works in the case of Dinin Mamonos, but maybe it's not going to work when it comes to the issue of Eish Zish, right? So therefore, we have the example also of the case of Eish Zish. Fine.
Pesha
Yetir. Pesha Asa Pesha Yetir, even in the case of, you know, Nishbase, etc. Exactly. Fine. Okay, so now the Gemara gives another question. Nishbasi Yitahora Ani Lamali. Right? There's another case of Eish Zish that was before Nishbasi. Right, the case woman says Ish Shaamra Ish Ish Ayisi Vigrusha Ani. That's case number three. I was married, but I'm divorced. Right, fine. But now, what about the next case? Case number four. Nishbasi Utahora Ani Lamali. Fine, but now why do I need the case where she says I was kidnapped, but nothing happened? Right, and I'm Torah to my husband. What do I need that case for? Okay. Why is that? Again, the assumption being there's no new chiddush. Right, if you have the Grusha case. And you have the other two cases of Mamonos, you now have Dine Mamonos, you now have Eish Zish. We have all the cases of Pesha Asu or Pesha Yetir covered. So Nishbeis Yitarani is just another case of Eish Zish. Right? Is this woman remain permitted to her husband or permissible to a Kohen? Right? So like, it should be the same case. What's the Chiddush? So answer the Gemara, we shouldn't think about it. Because they wanted to talk about the last line in that mission, which was, V'mishenise spo edim harei zulo teitse. Right? What was the Chiddush there? That if she already... right, was already married to a new person, right? And then Edom came, right? So she doesn't have to get divorced. And we actually said it's not that she's married. The Gemara there said, remember that once she was paskined, it was paskined that she could marry, right? She could have these students with the next person, and then dating came. She doesn't have to get divorced. So that itself is a chiddush. Meaning, and so the reason the case is not for the case itself. The case itself wouldn't have been a chiddush by Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter, but the next piece of it, this you know, one specific din that once they had already closed the case that she and said that she could get married again, that she doesn't have to get divorced if the Edom come later. So that was the reason. So Gemara says, fine. So, if you remember, that case, that last line of the Mishnah was a question whether that applied to the Reish of that Mishnah or the Seifa of that Mishnah. Okay? That Mishnah had talked about...
but not having to get divorced.
Right? We talked about the case of the Grusha. It's in Chav Beis Aman Aleph, right? The Mishnah Chav Beis Aman Aleph had said, a woman says, I'm an Eish Ezish and Grusha Ani. Right? We believe her because of Pesha Ashu Pesha Hitter. Right? And then we talked about a woman who says Nishbesi with Tahara Ani, again she's believed, Pesha Shabesh. And then the Gemara said at the end, if the Mishnah said Mishanisem Harizi Lutate. We didn't know which case it was referring to, right? So if it's referring to the case of Nishbase, it's going on the Seifa, then I get it. What's the Chiddush of Nishbase? The answer is there is no Chiddush of Nishbase. The Chiddush is the next line that refers to that case. That only works if the last line refers to that case. If the last line refers to the Grusha case, then what are you gonna say? Right, then what's the chiddush of the case of Nishbeis? So answers the Gemara. Right, mind the masnid la reisha ma'ikla meimar mushum the kabbal the misnei shtei nashim shenishbu, because they want to get the case not of the one woman who says I was nishbeisi v'taharani, but the case of the two women. And remember the case of the two women. Well, the Gemara doesn't ask right now. The case of the two women who are testifying about each other. Right. Says Gemara, okay, but what do I need that case for? So, and by the way, that wasn't even that Mishnah. That's the next Mishnah, right? That's our Mishnah on top of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, right? So, you want to get, meaning sometimes a Mishnah will bring up a case for the case that's found in the next Mishnah, because if you remember, the Mishnahs aren't always chopped up the way we have them in the Gemara. They're like, you know, they're all related to each other. So, okay, so what do I need that case for? Answers the Gemara, Mao the Sema, Nechish Lagomlin, Kamash Malam. What would I be concerned with? Again, women who give testimony about each other, what might I have thought? They made a deal, right? I'll say you're Tahara, you'll say I'm Tahara, Shalom Yisrael, everyone's a Mamzerim, it's terrible. But fine. Not sure, be a halal, be forbidden to their husband to work on. But in Kamash Malan, that we're not concerned that Eid Echad is enough when it comes to the woman who's Nishbis. Fine. The Chain Shnei Anoshim Lamali. Good. And now our final case. Our Mishnah. We're back to our Mishnah. With yet a whole Chazara of the last, you know, four daf. So the case of the two men, again, who give testimony about each other being Kohanim, what do I need that for? We should go by the Misnei Plukta Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Because I wanted to introduce you to the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, right? The Rabbanan who said, Shnei Anoshim. You know, do we allow the concept of mal and lakun al pi erechad? Chachamim had said, seems to be, say yes. Rabbi Yehuda said no. And now the Gemara is going to take us into that conversation. Okay, so that was all that introduction brings us to back into understanding our Mishnah, which is what's happening with the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban.
It's not really Pesha Asa, right?
This case.
Ours.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit like, really Pesha Asa? What's he saying bad about himself?
Right. Right.
Yeah, like I'm a Kohen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but if you notice, the Mishnah says V'chein Shnei Anashim, right? So it's really that, you know, it's almost, it's a very good point, right? It's there to bring me to the Shnei Anashim comes to bring me to the case of Shnei Anashim.
Right, but then we got there because of the other
because it's Machlok,
the other collusion case with the women.
Exactly. Right. You're right. Correct. Right. Right. It's very hard. It's a little. We have to see if we go along. Do you really think this is a Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitir case? Really?
What was the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the
That's exactly what we're going to talk about right now. Okay. Exactly. That's going to be our conversation now.
Okay.
So, Tana Rabbanan. Ani Kohen v'chavera chaveri Kohen. I'm a Kohen and my friend is also a Kohen. Ne'man hachilo b'truma. Right? You're believed to give him truma. Again, same kasha you asked before.
Yeah.
We'll look at Rashi. Ne'man hachilo b'truma ve'enu ne'man la'asiyo isha. Achi yugimo. Right? So, the Tanakhama here says, a person says, I'm a Kohen and my friend's a Kohen, right? So you believed, to let him eat Truma. That's how I would translate it. Right, to let him eat Truma. But you're not believed to let him marry right? To let him marry, you know, to get married, right?
To a woman he's not allowed to.
Ah, so it's a question, what does that mean? That's also a good question, right? Look at Rashi. Neman la'achila and betruma, ve'eino neman la'asiyo yisha miyuchases, right? Ma'lahi beyuchasin, right? Meaning, la'asiyo yisha miyuchases, right? The point being, because you're right, because allowing him to get married to what? To who? You're allowed to marry anybody. Cohen can marry anybody, as long as she's a basula, or she's an almana, if it would be permitted. So the point is, there's like some scenario where she's like has special yichis, and you only wants to marry a Cohen, right? So you wouldn't allow this Cohen to be counted like a miyuchas.
She
is. It sounds like she's miyuchases. How do they translate it in our school?
It's an untainted lineage.
Yeah, so it's unclear exactly what. So we have to see what that means exactly. But the point
being, we don't believe him as far as marrying.
In terms of marrying and be able to say that he's from a pure Kohanic, that's not a word, but Kohen lineage, we don't trust that. You don't trust. So if you eat Truma, we allow. But if they're getting married, not so simple. Okay.
They're marrying an Almana or something. Or
no, so other people, the question is, does that mean that we'll let him marry a Grusha? I don't think so. So we'll have to see. Let's see.
Eating Truma is a derisa. This is nothing.
Correct. It's very confusing. Because the issue of marrying Yuchasin, you know, in this case, it's very confusing why that's considered so severe, whereas the eating the truma, which is the right for Zahar to eat truma. Yes, it's a good question. So let's keep going.
There's a reason why there's very little
Gemara
on this page.
Yes, a lot of Taisus, yeah, correct.
Yeah, the shortest pages are the hardest.
The shorter pages are not, you find that out soon when you start learning Gemara, that the shortest pages in Gemara are not the easiest. They're usually the hardest. Yeah.
You skip Tosfos.
You think you're scot free because you don't understand what the Gemara says. Yeah, exactly. Tana Rabbanan. So let's read it again. Tana Rabbanan. Ani Kohen v'chaveri Kohen. I'm a Kohen and my friends a Kohen also. Neman lachil b'truma ve'i neman lasio isha. Right. He's believed to eat truma, but he's not believed to marry a woman. Achiu gimel. Until you have three people. Who are the three people? Shnai mi'idin azeh. Ushnai mi'idin azeh. Right. They give. Basically, you have three of them and two Kohanim. So each case can have two people about the third guy. So you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are Kohanim. Levi's not a Kohen. So Reuben and Levi testify about Shimon, and Reuben and Levi and Shimon and Levi testify about Reuben.
So you need three people.
Three people. So you have two. Testifying. So you don't have doubles. No one's testifying about themselves.
Okay.
That's the point. Until there are three, meaning that you have two witnesses for each. Rabbi Huda Omer. Okay. Here's Rabbi Huda again. Rabbi Huda Omer. Rabbi Huda says. No, so Rabbi Huda says you can't even let him eat truma. You can't even let him eat truma until you have three, right? Now, same exact story, but that's in order to eat truma. Look at Rashi. Look at Tosis for a second, just in order to, Tosis aval, which is the first wide line in Tosos. You see that word aval?
Yeah.
Just for like a second, we're not going to get the whole thing. But Rashi, he points out about Eino Nema Lasio Yisha Perish Bakuntris. Now there's even a Bach there also. Because there's a Rashi. This isn't a Rashi here. So it's a Rashi in Daf Chaf Hey. Perish Bakuntris Mishum Chashash Mamzeris Unesinis. Right. That there's a Rashi later that says this concern about getting married is when there's a concern about maybe someone's going to be a Mamzer or a Nusin, right? And Tosis is bothered by that. But you're going to see, regardless, there's clearly a problem, like an issue and a concern that exists about this question of the getting married, like what the getting married issue is all about. So maybe we'll come back to this and make sure you get better sense.
That she's coming from an untainted family.
Yeah, maybe there's more than that. Rashi here said Yuchasin, right? Because everyone's confused. What does that mean? Getting married? Getting married? There's a lot to get married. So like, what's the concern here?
Right.
So we're going to have to see. Because again, him being more of a Kohen just makes him more of a problem. There's fewer people you can marry, not more. So we'll have to see as we move along.
Right, but it seems like, is there any significance, right? Is there any significance that this halach is given for a Kohen as opposed to Yisrael?
Good. So maybe it's not specifically a Kohen. Right. Maybe it's general people making that they're Ksherim and they're not considered a Mamzer. Right.
Well, the other issue with a Kohen is that if there's a Chalalah, then the child of that Kohen, even though the father might be a Kohen, child is not. And so
right.
Then you mess up the lineage going down and
Right, but the question is, what's the concern about he will be able to marry someone? Like, who's the someone that we're concerned about? So, Jonathan, you pointed out a good point, because I think many daf ago, we had this question come up about marrying, about the yichus of getting married. And if I'm not incorrect, I think we talked about Bas Kohen, and Bas Kohen was like lav dafka. And it didn't really mean Kohen per se, it just meant anyone knowing their lineage. Right. And it's a really good point that you point that out, because it could be, maybe it's a similar point here. Kohen in terms of truma, and Kohen in terms of marriage, Kohen in terms of truma means Kohen dafka. Kohen in terms of lineage might just mean, like you said, that he has kosher Jewish lineage, that we know that he's not a mamzer.
In fact, I don't know if it's significant enough.
And that would explain, by the way, what Tosis is saying that Rashi's talking about.
Right.
That Rashi's talking about cases of mamzerus and nesinos, etc. Right. And Tosis is about, like, well, out of nowhere, we're concerned that someone's gonna be a mamzer, you know, that he's a mamzer. Like, we don't just assume that about people. We assume that people are fine. But maybe that's part of this
machlokas.
And it reminded me of that ha'ara that we had a long time ago, that Bas Kohen just meant knowing her yichus, and not about knowing specifically being a Kohen. So maybe that's probably what's going on here. But let's keep going.
So the Rav are saying then, if you have two people that testify to each other that they have good lineage, that's the idea?
Right. So I mean, is one aid enough to testify that the guy has good lineage? Oh, so what was the case? Was there Orin before or not? We'll see. So let's go. It's fine. So let's keep going for a second. Okay, but let's keep going for a second. So again, so we said, let's go back to the word there's Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur Rabbanan, ani Kohen v'chaveri Kohen. Right, I'm a Kohen and my friend's a Kohen. And you can't allow him to, again, get married for whatever the concern is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Eino Neman Lachila B'Truma. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't even allow him to eat Truma until I have, again, three total people, Shnayim Eidim Zalzev, Shnayim Eidim Zalzev. Each one has two witnesses about him, and they're separate people. Okay. Says the Gemara, L'meim Rabbi Yehuda Chayish L'Gomlin. This is what we're really getting into. You mean to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is worried about Chevra making deals with each other, right? You'll say about me, I'll say about you. I mean, the father of Yehuda says, I will never allow, right, these two guys to test about each one about each other, myself and each other. I'm never going to allow that, right? You always have to have three. Two are going to say about, you know, each two about each other. So why is it, sounds like Yehuda is worried that these two guys are going to be in cahoots with each other, right? Rabbanan lo chayish l'gomlin, it sounds like Yehuda intended that Rabbanan don't care about gomlin. That's strange. We have another Mishnah that seems to teach me the opposite. It's a Mishnah later on in Daf Nun Vav that says, "Disnan, hachamarin shenichnesu le'ir." You have wares, sellers of wares, whatever, who come into a city. Ve'amar echar mehen sheli chadash v'shel chaveri yashan. He says, "My produce is new, and my friend is old." Shali enu betukon v'shel chaveri betukon. Mine has already had chumas and meshes separated. My friends did not have chumas and meshes separated. Enu ne'eman. So Tanakhama says they're not believed to say such a thing. Right. So basically, he's saying that my stuff is good and my friend's stuff is no good. Basically,
they're not believed.
And, right. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ne'eman. Rabbi Yehuda says they're believed.
Yes.
Right. So, and what's the case here? Right. The point is that the guy shows up and says that they're talking about each other. So look at Rashi. Shali chadash v'shachavir yashan shali ne'en mitugan v'shachavir mitugan. Mishabech v'shachavir. U'mezazah shalom. When he says, mine is new, his is old, their case, old here means better. It's better. Right? So, you know, we come to halachos of yashan and chadash. Better to say someone's stuff is yashan, it's better. So, he's mishabech v'shachavir. He says his friend's stuff is better. U'mezazah shalom. And says that his is no good. Shali eno musar, ashal chaveri musar, shali chadash, ve'enu yavish adayin kol tzarecho. And mine is new, it doesn't talk about yashan and chadash in terms of produce, but it just means like, mine's too new.
That's what's confusing.
Yeah, mine is new, and but new is not so good. It needs to get worn in a little bit. And my friend is old, it's already worn out in a good way, it's ready to be used, right? The stam yashan tov mina chadash, because generally old is better than new, okay? Good hashkafic question, right? Like old is better than new. All right, base I go in. New iPhone, nothing. It's fine. So, but the bottom line is like this. Eino ne'eman, why? Ho'avam aretzu, ve'eino ne'eman ala ma'iser. Why is he not believed? Because we don't know who this guy is. Stam the guy, we assume he's an am aretz. He's not a tam hacham. He's not a chaver. So he's not careful about trumas and ma'isers. And he's declaring that these other guy's stuff has already been trumas and ma'isers taken from it.
Still in the ration?
Yes. Eino neman ho ve'am aretzu ve'eino neman al ma'aser. Afal pi shemid al shalom she'eino mitugan. Even this says about himself that mine's not taken care of. Ve'od, and this is the other reason. Shemosif imzu dvar mecherim l'shaberech l'shal chaver. He's adding all these things to make his friend's stuff look good. We don't believe him. That he, what do you mean? He's saying bad about himself, good about his friends. Good reason to believe him, right? Answer is no. Why? She'enon ela marimin. And mur atakan v'ani b'malkam acha. What do? We have a deal. What's the deal? We go into the first town. I say, your stuff is great. You want stuff? Don't buy me. Buy from my friend. Oh, you know, you met these guys before, right? In different places, right? No, don't buy from me. My friend is the best, right? And then they go to the other town. He says, no, don't buy from me. My friend's is the best, right? And they do it for each other. So there's a concern of Gomlin, right? The concern of Gomlin, right? So who's concerned about Gomlin? Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about Gomlin in this case, right? The Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Neman, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about Gomlin. And but before, in this Bryce we quoted before, we had the opposite. So Amar Badabar Ava, Amar Rav, no problem. Mechlev is Ashita, come on. Right, one teretz always is, edit it, right? Flip it, we remembered it wrong. Right? Mechlev is Ashita, you're right. Just make them flip the Shita here, and really, that everything makes sense. And you always have this, right? One opinion is just edit it out, and then the other opinion is that no. Abaya Amar, no. The Olam Lo Tepa. You don't have to flip it, and I'll tell you what's different about this case, right? What's different about this case? Bidamai hekilu, right? Rov ame aretz ma'asrinen, right? So Abai says no. In this case, the reason why we are typically, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Gomlin, right? Usually is concerned. But in this case, we're dealing with damai, right? So food that has, it's owned by an ame aretz. So what's the concern? We assume they took trimos, but we are concerned he didn't take meiser, right? Because Ami Aretz always take truma, they're not as careful to take meiser. So when it comes to demai, there's a lot of kulos that apply to demai because it's always just a suffix, right? We don't know for sure he didn't take meiser. We're concerned he didn't take meiser. So in that case, when it comes to demai, we're usually typically make y'all because rove Ami Aretz, they do take meiser, but some don't. So that's why in this case he's willing. We believe the guy when he says that my friend did take Trumas and Maestros, there's more reason to believe him, and it's not because we're not choshish for Gomlin. Usually, we are choshish for Gomlin, but in this case, no.
But it's Rabbi Yehuda that's doing that.
Correct.
Right. It's not the
correct. So look. So now it says Gemara, Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, right? Rabbanan, lo Kasha. Meaning, good. You had a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, but you didn't talk about the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan also have a kasha on themselves. So it's not just Rabbi Yehuda; it's both of them, right? So you only answered up for the concern of Rabbi Yehuda. You didn't answer up for the Rabbanan. So Ella, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, Kiddushaninan. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda has no kasha. We explained it either flip the shitos or no. This case of demai, and that's why he's more mekel in this case. However, what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan lo kasha also, so I'll tell you why the Rabbanan also is not a kasha. Meaning, why is it that the Rabbanan before were not choshish the Gomlin and now it sounds like they are? Right? Kidam Rabbi Chama bar Ukva, v'shikli umnuso biyado. What's the guy? Hachanami, v'shikli umnuso biyado. So what happened? He's holding his work items in his hand. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, v'shikli umnuso biyado, chamar hamevi tvua limkor. So the guy who's coming to sell his produce, right? Hayanose biyado kli heker shamachira. Right? He would bring with him. There's certain tools and instruments they would bring with them to measure stuff, whatever. As you're gonna measure things out to sell them. So there's certain things you bring with you. You could go in mechak shemochkim ba hamida. The things that you would measure out with vameviya latsnia eno nose biyado kli umnos mecher. And if the guy's coming just to, let's say the guy says, look, oh my grain's all new. Right. You don't want my grain. You want his grain. Right? So what's he doing with his grain? He's bringing it just to store it somewhere. Right? So if he shows up and he's holding his... And therefore, what would he not have with him? He wouldn't have his selling utensils with him because that's not what he's doing. So this guy is saying, no, mine's new, his is old. And yet he has with him all of the tools that he needs to sell his grain. What does it mean? It means he's not telling the truth, right? That's a giveaway that he's really there to sell. The next town, he's going to be selling his, and selling the other guys is no good, right? The guy has said that he's no good. He's holding on to his tools. Right? So the fact that he's holding on to his tools shows me that really the truth is they are in cahoots. So the point is that, yeah, typically the Rabbanan agree that we are not concerned for Gomlin, but in the case where it's so obvious that they're Gomlin, then the Rabbanan will talk, be worried about it, and we'll pick up with this, I guess, on Thursday. Rosh Hashem, we'll finish the daf on Thursday.
Okay.